100 years ago today, the most consequential bullet ever fired, the most world-changing assassination that ever occurred happened when a young Serbian named Gavrilo Princip shot Archduke Ferdinand and started the First World War. That changed everything forever. You realize, of course, that no one called it the First World War at the time, because nobody knew that there would be a second. It was called instead the Great War, because it was the first time that virtually the entire globe fought each other. And even though at the beginning of the war, if you read accounts, everybody thought it was going to be short and easy on both sides, it turned into a 5-year slaughter that decimated not only the countries that were involved in the fighting, but the young male population all throughout East and Western Europe, and presaged the end of the two empires, the Habsburg Empire and the Ottoman Empire, that had essentially until then stabilized the world. What you see going on today in the Middle East is still a legacy of the First World War. And all those different nation states were carved up in the 1919 peace agreements that led then to the Second World War. And we know the catastrophe that the Second World War was for the world and for our people. So no one should go on this day without remembering what happened 100 years ago and realizing that we still live with that legacy, and that, as Cicero said, to forget the past is to remain forever a child. And part of the legacy of the First World War that we have to remember today is that war does not turn out the way you assume it will. That it is very easy to cheerlead your way into a war, but very hard to get out of it. And that once you start a war, things bubble in ways that you could not possibly imagine. Even in the midst of the First World War, there were heroic calls to sacrifice. The most famous poem to come out of it was Flanders Field, written by a young Canadian who wrote, "To you from failing hands we throw the torch, be yours to hold it high. For if ye break with us who die, we will not sleep, though poppies grow in Flanders Field." It was an encouragement to those who lived to keep fighting, and they did, for years after the poem was written in 1915. And millions more died. Almost the entire young male population of France was wiped out. If you go and look at the Battle of the Somme, where some 15,000 to 20,000 young Britons were killed in the first day of the fighting, and you discover that there and at Passchendaele and all the fields where they fought, not only was trench warfare hellish for the soldiers involved, but chemical warfare came out of the First World War, and so did the hatreds that followed us throughout the 20th century. It's remarkable in some ways that this week is the 100th anniversary, and of course coincident with July 4th, with the rocket's red glare and the bombs bursting in air, that remind you at the same time that some wars need to be fought, and that some wars lead to freedom. and that to be a pacifist in a dangerous world is a recipe for slaughter. But the First World War stands as a cautionary tale to everybody who thinks that war will be clean or easy or predictable. And in a very subtle and understated way, we get that exact message from this morning's Torah portion. This morning is the Torah portion in which Moses is forbidden to enter the land of Israel. And it's because God says, speak to a rock and water will flow. And instead of speaking to the rock, Moses takes a stick and he hits a rock. And what's the lesson here? The lesson is, Moses, you're the leader of the people. Your first resort can't be to violence. It has to be to words. That violence is the last thing when all the words have failed. But again and again and again, you have to return to the negotiating table, Moses, because if it fails, and if you have to resort to war, remember that you cannot predict what will happen and that many, many will die. I was part of the most fortunate generation. I was never in danger of going to war. By the time I came along, the United States didn't have a draft. They had a volunteer army, and I was not volunteering. But that is a rarity in human history. And it is too easy for people who have never faced war to encourage war. For people who haven't had losses to suggest that other people fight and take losses. So even as we celebrate those this week who fought to enable us to be free, we shouldn't forget those many millions who fought to no purpose at all. Because unlike World War II, World War I was in some sense a useless war. It wasn't a war where a great victory was won. It was a war where many, many, many gave their lives and left a world behind that was in some ways worse than the world before the war. That's why we in America, we remember World War II, because it was heroic and it was right and it was good and it was necessary. And we defeated a great evil, the greatest evil that the world has ever known. So we remember it, and we remember it with pride. But I wonder how many Americans think about World War I, which was a victory of exhaustion, not of honor, and where we were reminded that war is cruel and devours lives and leaves women widowed and children orphaned. And it is a terrible thing. And that the most frequent prayer in our tradition is a prayer for peace. And our tradition was written by people who knew war. Someone once asked Winston Churchill after the Second World War that if there was another world war, how do you think it would be fought? And Churchill said something like, I don't know what weapons they will use to fight World War III, but I know what weapons will be used to fight the war after that, sticks and stones. In other words, the world is at a place where the destruction we can wreak on one another is unimaginable, such that we can destroy virtually everything that we have built. So be careful. Be judicious. Remember the sticks and stones of Churchill and the stick and stone of Moshe. We are part of a people and a nation that has had to fight. We should be enormously grateful and proud that Israel's army has kept it safe. But God forbid that they have to fight another war. And God forbid that we do. The Jewish people, perhaps more than any other people the world has known, has seen the wreckage of persecution, of violence, and of war. We should be the most forceful advocates for any way other than fighting to solve our problems, even as we should be the most forceful advocates when there is no other way left. We should not be belligerent, but we should not be fearful. Still, on this day of all days, this 100th anniversary of the catastrophe that made the 20th century the most blighted and awful in the history of humanity, we should remember that the Kaddish that the cantor just chanted asks God for one thing, Oseh Shalom Bimromav, God who makes peace in the heavens, Yaaseh Shalom Aleinu, make peace among us too. Because especially on this day, we know there is no blessing that is greater than peace. Shabbat Shalom.